that we know without a doubt that you have been with us and that you're going to be with us. And we just thank you, Lord, that even with the things that are going on in this world and the things going on in our personal lives and our circumstances and stuff, that you are God and that you have promises for us. And we need to learn about those promises so that we can hold on to them when other voices and the voice of the enemy comes in trying to tell us different. So tonight, as we again get into your word, which is refreshing each time, which is new each time, we want to thank you, God, that we're going to find your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And yes, we are still in Isaiah 61, and I keep saying you're going to stay too long in a certain portion of Scripture. It's going to get boring. I just can't seem to get away from some of the promises that are there in that portion of Scripture because of the world that we're living in right now. And, you know, I try not to get out extremely a lot, but I do get out. I have to get out and do things. My sister's having issues with her eyes again, and we have been to Lexington several times. And the doctor process in Lexington, be prepared to wait 6 to 8 hours for a doctor's visit to be completed because of the rules they have to abide by. And so, you know, you sit and you listen, you hear different conversations. And, you know, and I'm hearing things like, boy, these are sure difficult times that we're living in. And, of course, people are saying, I think we're living in the end times. Oh, I think we're living in the end times. And I thought, if you're going to say that, you might want to be a little bit more cheerful about it instead of saying, oh, I think we're living in the end times. There just seems to be a trouble around every corner. This one lady said, I just hate to pick up my phone because I don't know what I'm going to hear next. And, you know, there's so much grief everywhere. So, you know, just so much grief. You know, it's just so much sadness. All this y'all talk that we get. And, of course, the news uses words like crisis situation and calamities and just different words that are so negative. And we're seeing people now, the farmers are in, you know, they're butting heads with the government, you know, different businesses are. And I see people demanding attention from government officials, either local. I know here in Adair County, Judge Cowan decided after meeting with the fiscal court that she wasn't going to open everything up, the government offices, when they could be open. She was going to wait till June the 1st. And I've heard talk out there, you know, we can't get anything done. Kids aren't getting their permits. We can't take care of this. When are we going to open up? He said we could open up. And not respecting, you know, the thought process that went in behind and respecting that. And they want the government to listen to them, and they want the government to give them attention, and they want the government to give them some secure answers about their future. And I understand we need to get answers and we need to listen, but I'm telling you all, if you're waiting for the government to get you back to whatever normal is, or to assure you of your future, I don't care how many stimulus checks come out, and that's where your faith lies, you're going to be sorely disappointed. And you're going to be hurt. You see, I feel like, you know, if I had an opinion, that's fine. But I don't feel like I have to go to the government officials for security, for them to assure me, oh, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be just fine. Because you see, I have a God who already has my attention. He is already looking for me. The song that we sing at church says he is chasing after us. You know, we don't see the government chasing after all of us, but we have a God that is chasing after us with goodness and blessings and mercy. And he has our attention. And he, therefore, has all the answers, and he has the security that we need for our future. He's the one that can give it to you. And all we have to do is just go to him, bask in him, talk to him. You know, he provides us with this secret place that we can share with him, his sanctuary, his tabernacle. And I'm not talking about the church building. And, you know, the image of abiding underneath the wings of the hen and him covering us with his big old wings as he protects us, his chicks. We're his chicks and he wants to protect us. And, you know, we need to keep those things in our mind, irregardless of what we hear that's going on out there, because that's the kind of God that we have. You know, also, this year we have had some really, you know, people that we have been close to and that we know and that we love and parts of our group that have had significant losses through death, not from the COVID virus, but from life. You know, a young wife, a wife of 40 some years, a brother. Recently, a sister lost her brother. Mourning. And mourning is okay. Hi, Sherry. Mourning is okay. It's something that we go through, and we're going to talk about it. But I want to go now to help, because not only families mourning over deaths and jobs and stuff, our nation is in mourning. And part of the mourning is unnecessary, I will be honest, because things have changed that people's gotten so used to and they think they can't do without. But then there's other things that have happened that can create these feelings of weeping and grieving and mourning inside of us. But I'm going to go back to Isaiah 61, and I want to be able, if they were to come in and take this Bible, I want to be able to keep referring back to Isaiah 61 as one of the promises that we can hold on to out of many. And at verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The title of my Bible study tonight is, Are You in Mourning? And if you are, this is for you. You may not even realize that you really are in a lot of mourning. You might not be in that deep grief mourning. But if there's anything that you are missing and that you feel voids in within, sadness, you just can't seem to wake up wanting to face the day. People want to label it as depression. It could be that you're in mourning. And so the first promise that I want to point out from Isaiah 61, God will. Now that W-I-L-L will leaves no doubt. It's not he might do it, he may do it. The word is will. God will console those who mourn in Zion. And we know that Zion is a symbol of Jerusalem, and we take it farther, and it's a symbol of the Christians. Even though we're not Jews in Zion and Jerusalem is the Jewish holy city, and we respect and honor that. But not every Jew in Israel lived in the city of Zion, but it included the Jewish people. And this was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, after Jesus came, we get grafted in. And all the promises that God had for the Jews are ours. So it says here that God will console those who mourn. If you are a person who is in mourning or one who mourns, that is your promise. And you can wake up every morning saying, thank you, God, I know you will console me because I am in mourning. You will console me. I want to define console. It's one of those words that we, you know, me and my word studies, because we hear words, you know, spoken and we read them and then we think about, well, can you give me a definition? And then you kind of stumble over it because you haven't really studied it or you really don't know what that word means. And I kind of got excited when I read the definitions. Of course, I do that. Me and the Holy Spirit have a great time in the dictionary. The word console comes from a French word, now get this, you all, that means bracket. Do you know, like when you put a shelf up, like say one shelf, and you have those little hooky things, and they can be decorative or they can just be metal, and it holds that shelf up, that bracket, or brackets on different pieces of equipment? A bracket. The word bracket means to alleviate the load. To alleviate the load. The word console, when I first heard it, I was thinking compassion, comfort, which that's good. Compassion, comfort, you know, sympathy, empathy, that emotional type response. But if you go back to what the word truly means, it means to alleviate the load. Not only is he going to actually just comfort and console us, he's going to be our bracket. And I saw Jesus as two brackets, and we were the shelf, and he was holding us up, and whatever load came on top of that shelf. Now, I'm telling you, there's no brackets here handmade that you can put in a wall and keep putting stuff on the shelves that it won't eventually pull out of the wall, right? But not with our bracket of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what load we have on us. He is our bracket and he will alleviate the load off of us. He helps hold us up, supports us. So in our mourning, which he allows us to feel, he is going to help alleviate that load. Brackets, when the word was first used and the concept came around, it was for big stone shelves that were carved out of marble and stuff, and usually churches and stuff, you'll see it. And then they would have these really fancy scroll type brackets underneath it. And they were usually, most brackets when they first started being made, was decorated with this Christian, they called it a Christian figure. They have different names for it in different cultures. But basically it's a Christian figure named the Consoler. C-O-N-S-O-L-R, the Consoler. Which meant sympathizer, which is kind of what I thought consoling was. Which meant sympathizer and reliever. Reliever. He relieves. He wants to take that burden from us. And another definition was that it is a bracket juts out of the wall to carry what they call a super incumbent weight. Had to go look that word up. Super incumbent. Super incumbent means lying or resting. This is what the word means. Lying or resting on something else. Our weight, which is super incumbent, is to lie and rest on something else. And as Christians, it's God. We don't have to have our load completely removed or our burdens to go and rest on Him. He can handle us and our burdens and our grief and our mourning and our fears and whatever keeps building up that weighs us down. Another definition for console comes from the Latin word for solace. And this is the one that I think most of us use as a definition for console or console. It's comfort, relief, support, and compassion. And in some of the other European countries, the word for console was mercy and comfort. Now, that concept I had is console. Comfort, you know, sympathy, compassion, mercy. But when I read about the first time that the original beginning of the word console was bracket, someone that supported us, then I saw a different side of God as He consoled us. He's just not there patting our shoulders saying, it's going to be all right. You know, I'm sorry that you're having to. No, He's there nice and strong, and He is supporting us during our mourning and sadness. And another word, another definition for console is to make less severe. If you are mourning to the depths of your soul, that it has winded up almost taking over your life. And I have seen people in mourning that it does. Turn it over to God. He is the consoler. He will make things less severe. He will make things less severe. I want to read. Okay, that's in the Old Testament. That's in Isaiah. He says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. And we know that me is Jesus. And that Jesus is going to do all this stuff. And so one of the things Jesus is going to do is He's going to console us in the midst of our grief and mourning time. He's going to console us. So I want to go now to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And Jesus here, I won't get into it all, but Jesus... He's the one that's teaching, and John the Baptist is in on it. He has sent people to hear what Jesus has to say about things, and they've asked Him questions, and He's telling them some things, and some things aren't so good. But when we get down to verse 28, well, let's go back up to verse 27. And this is in red in my Bible, which means these are the words of Jesus Christ. And He says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. And that's basically saying, what I'm saying comes from Father God. Jesus didn't say anything or do anything that His Heavenly Father did not tell Him to do. So when He gets ready to talk here that I'm going to talk about, this is Father God talking through His Son. And these are the promises. Come to me, And I know y'all have heard this before, but sometimes we just have to be reminded of things. Come to me, all you who labor. And that does not mean that you have to have a full-time job. Okay? We're going to talk about that. Come to me, all you, A-L-L, all, who labor and are heavy laden. And what will he do? This is his promise to us. I will give you rest. If life feels heavy right now and you get up in the morning and it is a labor to get through the day, it is a labor to try to figure out how to pay your bills, it is a labor on what to do with your children, it is a labor, everything is heavy and it's a labor. And for us women who have had children, we know what labor is. You know, that pushing and giving and putting. But there are people who labor every day, and it's not work. Sometimes I would rather do physical work than to have to deal with emotional and mental attitudes. Just get out and do work and do your dishes. You can do things that we call work. Work in the fields. Work at your job. Work at home. And you can still hear yourself humming and singing, and you got your praise and worship music on. That's not someone who is laboring during their work. But you can labor just to get yourself out of bed every morning. You can be a laborer. And when you get up, the heaviness is still there. The oppression is still there. The worry, all the weights of the world is still there, and you go through your day laboring and are heavy laden. But God says, I won't fuss at you. Come to me all, A-L-L. That means that anybody that hears me say this, you are not excluded from this promise. But you do have to do one thing. You have to come. You have to come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If Frankfurt was to say, I know that everyone in Kentucky is financially struggling, and we are going to be giving out these really nice checks, but you have to come to Frankfurt to get it. How many people do you think would go that met that criteria? If you are having trouble paying your electric bill this month, come to Frankfurt and we will give you a check. If you're having trouble getting groceries, come to Frankfurt. We'll give you a check. I guarantee you people would come. That's all Jesus is asking. If you labor and are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. And let me tell you, the bank of God never runs dry. I don't care if the United States goes bankrupt. I don't care if Kentucky goes bankrupt. The bank of God, your heavenly Father, never runs out. And then he says in verse 29, take my yoke. And we talked about this months ago about a yoke is a piece of wood that puts two animals together so they can work in the field. And that is hard work. Those yokes are massive. And even in some countries, usually the Asian countries, the people even have yokes for their neck. And the bars go out like this. And you'll see pails of water or rice and stuff that they're having to carry. And in Africa, you'll see it too, and it goes around the neck. That's called a yoke. But Jesus, he also offers us a yoke. But what is his yoke? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Have you ever gone through life hearing the same thing over and over and thinking, God, why am I still hearing this? Maybe we forgot the second part of take my yoke up on me and learn from me, For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You're in mourning? Are you tired of everything that's going on right now? I'm not talking about rest that you get when you go to sleep at night. I'm talking about rest in your spirit. And you will find rest for your souls. You find rest for your souls, you're going to have the peace that passes all understanding. And he says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you've got a burden on you that's so heavy you can't hardly breathe or get through the day, I am guaranteeing you it is not from God. It's not. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I want to read that same portion of scripture. I just visually like kind of what I hear with this. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 out of the Message Bible. Are you tired? Anybody want to raise their hand can wave. Worn out? Burned out on religion? Now, I'm not. I go to a wonderful church. I am not burned out on religion. There was a time I was. In the church I was raised in, by the time I got to be 18, I was burned out on religion. I laid it down. I said, I don't even know if I believe in God. Thank God he never gave up on me. And what does he say? Come to me. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out from life? Not just religion, but just life in general? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. This is Jesus. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that term. Unforced rhythms of grace. Nothing is forced from God. It is just given. Just given. And he goes on to say here in the Message Bible, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You want to live lightly these days in this heaviness? Come to Jesus. He has the answers. And in the Passion Bible, it says, the same scripture, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life. Do we need refreshing in our lives? I heard Pastor Laverne and them practice, and Glenn and I and them all got connected. And they were practicing, we need a move. God, we need a move. And so when I heard that, I thought, well, you know, I'd already, you know, wrote this from the Passion Translation. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. An oasis is out in the middle of the most desert, arid place. And then here is this lush greenness with water and food. And, it, you know, that's our oasis. If we have God, it does not matter how desolate that the world around us looks. When you look at a desert, especially these big, big deserts like in Lawrence of Arabia, you go for miles, acres, and you don't see any life of any kind that you know of, unless you happen to see a scorpion or a snake or something. But no lushness, no greenness, no life. Okay, maybe that's how our world feels to some people. But oh, We have a Savior that is the oasis for us, and all we have to do is run to that oasis and stay there with Him. That's all we have to do. He goes on to say, simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you will discover that I am gentle, humble, easy to please. Boy, that one I didn't learn. Growing up, I thought it was the hardest thing to please God. Oh, my. But it says here, Jesus is easy to please, kind and delightful. Isn't that the kind of people you want to be around? He says, you will find refreshment and rest and tranquility and peace. Can you see what he's trying to tell us? And he says, for all that I require of you is to be pleasant and easy to bear. And you say, Martha, you don't know what I'm dealing with on a daily basis. I cannot be pleasant and easy to bear. If you knew what my day was like, and now you're telling me to be pleasant and easy to bear, Miss Sherry out there, she might have customers that give her what for. But with God, it doesn't matter what our day's like. That's what he's trying to say. It doesn't matter how heavy our load is. He is our bracket. He alleviates it, and he instills in us then all these qualities of him. We're Christians. We are little Christ. And what Christ is, we can be too. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. We just have to let him do it for us. There's also another translation. I won't get in a lot of it. But, oh, this one kind of excited me. It's from the Aramaic. You all wonder what I do with my time, don't you? It says, come to me and I will cheer you. Cheer. Laughter, joy. In this day and time, he says, I am cheerful and humble in heart, and you will find cheer in your soul. You turn over to Jesus, you'll catch yourself humming. Your circumstances might be exactly the same, but you'll find yourself humming, singing a little praise tune, singing Jesus loves me, and you'll find yourself just in a different atmosphere. This I read in one of my writings, and I thought it was so interesting to me, and I'll tell you what I saw in my head. Many times in the New Testament, you will find scriptures that says that, you know, Jesus said, come after me. So here he is. He's walking along. He's saying to the fishermen, he's saying to us, come after me. And he's leading and he wants us to come after him. Or he might say, come follow me. Again, he's in the lead and we're to follow. And that's true. We are supposed to do all of that. But when we're talking about mourning and consoling and alleviating our burden and taking the weights of the world off of us, this scripture that I just read in Matthew is the only time in the Bible that he said, come to me. So when I read that and I thought, yeah, come follow me. All right, that's great. Being in the presence of the Lord is great, whether we're following or whatever. Don't ever get in front of him. Don't ever try to be the leader. That will not work. Or come follow me, come after me. But when I read that this was come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me. Come to me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. What I pictured was a child, a young child, and the daddy coming home or coming around after he's been away for a while, and it could be an hour to a child or it could be a week, and he kind of gets down on the child's level and he opens his arms as wide as he says, and he says, come on, honey, come to daddy, come to me. And that child runs into their father's arms quickly, excitedly, and that father's arms wrap around that child, and they could just lay there and go to sleep and rest no matter what else was going on around them. Come to me. Don't come embarrassed. Don't come feeling unworthy. What I sensed when he said, come to me, is basically run to me. Run into my open arms. I am here. You will find rest. You will find consolation. You will find help with the weight of your morning and how things are going. Also, going on with the Bible and what it says about him wanting to be with us and take care of us through times like this. Psalms 55:22. Again, a verse we've heard over and over. I just want to encourage you and remind you that it's there and it's promises you can hold on to. Psalms 55:22 in the New King James Version. Cast your burden on the Lord. Sling it! I know Brother Jerry, he's a big fisherman. Well, when you take that rod and reel and you're out there and you want to really get out there, you sling it back and you sling it with everything you have. You cast. They call it casting. You cast. That's what he wants us to do with our burden. Cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. That means he'll keep you stable. And he shall never permit the righteous. Are you the righteous? Well, Martha, I don't feel very righteous today. Are you saved? Are you covered with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gave to you? That's another one of our songs. Well, if you are, you're the righteous. And it says he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. In the Passion Translation, it says, so here's what I've learned through it all. This is the writer in Psalms. So here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless, that means there is no measurement, and measureless grace will strengthen you. You need anything to get through the next day? You need something to get through the next week? Here's your scripture. Grab a hold of it. Believe it. Another scripture that I went to, and we've heard this one too, but it's what rose up in my spirit. And I said, well, God, you know, these people that I'm talking to probably know all of this. Matthew 5:4. Y'all know what's in Matthew 5? Pastor and them do. The Beatitudes. Jesus is teaching. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's a promise, you all. Are you in mourning? Are you in mourning? Here's your promise. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I got to thinking, boy, if you're in mourning, and you know, I keep going back to our friends in Ohio who lost their wives, and it was a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, and precious, precious Christian family that we knew. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, are they blessed? And the Holy, or would they think they were blessed? Or the people who have, you know, have losses, and they say, and you know, I heard about a fire the other day, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, it says they lost everything, and I'm saying they're blessed. And he, and the Holy Spirit rose up in me. He said, what is the definition of blessed? Now sometimes we use it kind of like as a very, very, very positive. Oh, I am so blessed. And we should keep saying it, but we need to know why we should keep saying it. Yeah, we're blessed. No matter what the circumstances are, we're blessed. Because blessed means having divine, godly aid, A-I-D, aid, or help and protection. Blessed, when we say I am blessed, we are saying I have divine and godly help and protection in my life. Yes, I'm blessed. So the next time y'all say something, I say I'm blessed. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. The word blessed doesn't mean everything is good. The word blessed means we have God on our side. Now, that's simply Martha's definition. We have God on our side. So, it's, you know, if you think, I can't say I'm blessed today. Look how my day's gone. Oh, yes, you are blessed. You absolutely are. And, of course, the word comfort here means to strengthen greatly. See, we think comfort, I think, is more of an emotional, you know, I am so sorry for your loss. I'll be praying for you. And the sympathy and empathy, and by all means, that is exactly what we need to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to remember with God, comfort means to strengthen greatly. There's strength behind the word comfort. Which, with this great strength that God has when he gives us comfort, and that's what we need to see when he says, I'll comfort you. That strength will bring contentment, ease, relief, and satisfaction to your life. But Martha, you don't know what I've lost. You don't know what I am mourning over. I'm sorry. He doesn't give a list of things of, I will comfort you if this happens, or I will comfort you if that happens. He says, for all those who mourn. And he doesn't give a category. It doesn't have to be death. It doesn't have to be financial ruin. It doesn't have to be fear. It's any of us that are in mourning for whatever reason. God doesn't put these little limits on his promises to us. And, you know, I went back and looked at the word sustained from Psalms 55:22. I had to write me a note and I overlooked it. And I thought, sustain. I know what that means. That's, you know, kind of holding you up. You're going to be steady. You're going to be there. Sustain means to console. And it goes back to the root word bracket. It all goes back to that same root word of bracket, which helps carry the weight and alleviate the weight in us. So, we are the righteous. We are those who mourn. These promises are for us. And we don't need to think that he is not there for us. You know, those scriptures that I have read to you, when you go back and think about them, or if you want to go back and read them again, or hear me say them again, or write them on index cards and post them everywhere. When you hear those words and you're in mourning right now, how should those words make you feel? It should give you some relief. I mean, and those are just a very few scriptures. You want to really know what he wants to do to comfort us and console us and take care of us during our mourning? Do a study. I mean, you know, this could go on and on and on. Our God is, he is without limit at what he will do for us in whatever circumstance that we're in. You know, the other thing that came to me in Isaiah 61, it said, you know, the Lord has appointed me to, and it has to all the things he's going to do, and he is. But what was the reason that the Lord anointed Jesus to do all those things? Well, the answer is in Isaiah 61. The reason that Jesus was anointed to do all those things is that we may be trees of righteousness for the Lord. You don't think you're righteous? The Lord anointed, God anointed Jesus to do all those things for us, not for himself, for us, but the purpose was, is to get us to the point that we are trees. And I don't think he meant saplings. I think he meant redwood forest trees of righteousness. When you see yourself as a tree of righteousness, don't pick one of these scrawny little trees. See yourself as those big, huge trees in California where you can drive through them because they've made these arches. That's what we are. Mm-hmm. We are trees of righteousness for the Lord. And that's why Jesus was anointed to do those things, was for us, to make us trees of righteousness, because we couldn't be trees of righteousness by ourselves. It wouldn't work. So if you're in a period of mourning right now and things are heavy, you are still a tree of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And you are part of this all who mourn. You are part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And these promises are for everyone. So are you in mourning over anything right now? God's got the answer.
Amen.
So that's as far as I'm going to go this week. Next week, I've got a little bit more on this. It just, you know, keeps rising in my spirit. But I feel like this is God's word, and it is to encourage us through whatever's going to happen the next few months. I know that they're saying there's going to be a second wave of COVID and this and that and all the stuff. I don't even listen to it half the time. I'm telling you, I don't. Because you see, my security's in God. And his promises are true. And yes, I'm not telling you not to feel what you feel with loss or grief or fear. He doesn't tell you not to feel it. He just tells you, if you're one of those people that are feeling it, come to him. Come to Jesus. That's all he wants. It doesn't matter. You know, oh, you're a Christian. You shouldn't be that sad. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. He wants to take your world. He wants to take your life. He wants to take your emotions. He wants to be the bracket in your life. And I'm going to close. I think it is about time to close. And I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to encourage you all to grab a hold of these scriptures and to know what God's promises are for you. And boy, go out this week seeing yourself as big redwood trees of righteousness, big ones.
Martha, can you hear us? Yes.